And friends, once again, we are back. It is your buddy Mark the Spooky Sailor. We are here at the Para-Unity Expo. Not the Para-Nudity Expo, the Para-Unity Expo. Now, sitting across from me, we've talked to a couple of guests today. We've had some major celebrities. We had some quasi-movie stars. We've had some kids off the street playing Guess the Goosebumps. Now, I have the godfather of the Para-Unity Expo. I will let you introduce yourself.
I'm John Ruggiero.
Yes, John Ruggiero, the godfather of Para-Unity Expo. The reason that we are all here celebrating the paranormal and our love for it. John, I didn't make the last one. I made this one. This one is awesome sauce. People are having a great time. I'm watching people coming in and out of that door, smiling. I'm grabbing people, having a great time. I want to know, how did this whole thing start?
Well, for me, it was the idea of sort of the anti-expo. There are a lot of expos out there that charge a lot of money to get in the door, to see the celebrities, for day passes, night passes. I wanted to create something different, something affordable, something that people could bring their families to. You could get a reading, affordable price. You could see a lecture for an affordable price. You could meet a celebrity for an affordable price.
You can meet me.
Meet you too as well. So that was the whole idea behind it. And just to see if I could. There was nothing like this in New Jersey, so
yeah.
I figured why not try.
It's amazing that the hunger for this is around. I mean, we used to do small shows up by me. And people would flock to it from a lot of places just for a quick little day show. Now, what does this go for? I know that it's all for a good cause.
Yes. The Neurofibromatosis Network, which is it's a disease that I actually have.
Okay.
My sister has it. It's a genetic disease. The body produces tumors. They're benign tumors, but they still wrap around nerves. They affect the brain, the spine, other ligaments. It's a really devastating disease. It's devastated my family.
Yeah. And you found a way to bring people together, unite people together. And now that there's awareness for it, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. I knew it was for a charity. I didn't know the exact charity. And this is why I asked the questions.
Right.
And this is why our listeners get to hear it now. It's for a good cause. It's for a great cause. It's helping people.
Right.
And when you come to the next one, because all my listeners, you will come to the next one. Just like I challenged you the other day, make somebody smile. The challenge is to come to the next one. Hopefully it'll be closer to me. But it's a great thing.
Right.
Now, I want to talk about some of the people you've gotten here. You've gotten some big names. How did you pull them in?
Brian, I met last year, Brian Cano, through somebody else who actually attended the expo. They put me in touch with him. Brian's a great guy.
Nice.
Really approachable, just nice, down-to-earth guy. I haven't met one person yet who had anything negative to say about
Brian.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Bruce Tango, local Jersey
yep.
guy, Ghost Hunters. I approached him as well, told him about the event, told him it was for charity, and Bruce came on board.
Nice.
Joe Chin.
Yeah.
Joe Chin, I met actually with the Paranormal After Party.
Yep.
He's part of that team. He came with them to last year's expo. I met him. Great guy. Liked what the event stood for. Reached out to him this year, and he was on board as well.
Nice. Now, on your website, I know we talked about it really quick earlier before, but I want to bring it up for our listeners now. You had that great commercial. Whose idea was that?
That was actually Brian's commercial. I'd like to take credit for it. But I presented a script that was very boring, very generic. Read the name of the event, the ticket price, who's coming. And Brian said to me, John, if you're daring enough to do this, I think it'll be funny. Let's recreate the scene from Ghostbusters
yes.
where they meet the mayor.
Oh.
He sent me the script about an hour later. If you've seen the clip, the mayor is phenomenal
mm-hmm.
in the clip. And he is, again, he loves the paranormal, loves the charity. It was just a great experience and a really funny commercial.
What I love about that is you're doing something nice for the community, and here now the community is helping you come
yes.
back. Usually, a lot of people like, oh, paranormal, you know, they kind of shy off. Open arms, big hug. Here's the mayor. I loved it. Now, hopefully, if he comes in, I want to bust the chops about that commercial. It was a good time. So, another question for you now. Let's get in the nitty gritty. What is your background in the paranormal?
My background is actually my mom, who's 84, she lost her mother when she was very young to the same disease. And she was actually in an orphanage for a number of years. My mom would tell us stories a lot when we were young about her mother coming to visit her
yeah.
in the orphanage. And that started my interest. And then, of course, I started researching. I started watching the shows. And I just wanted to see if it was real. I thought maybe it's just TV. So I started buying equipment, going
yep.
on investigations, and I found out for myself it is real.
Cool. Now, here's what I've been asking a lot of the ghost hunters. What is your first EVP you can remember? Your first EVP.
Actually, that's pretty good. I was in Gettysburg on a trip for business at the next town over. And again, one of those cases where I wanted to see if this was real. I wandered out by myself onto the battlefield at night. Nobody around me. I had my cell phone. I was asking questions. Went back to my hotel room, reviewed it. I had a direct response of yes.
Ooh.
It was great. My hair stood up. It was just, I was in, all in at that
You're
point.
You're hooked, right?
All in.
Nice. Okay. Again, another question I've been asking. Do you get scared?
Yeah. Actually, I did. there's a building not far from here, the Board of Ed building, which is one of the oldest buildings in Woodbridge. It was used as a makeshift morgue / triage during the 1951 crash where I think 80 people died, 40 people, something like that. They used it, and people were in the basement. They had bodies there. I was in a room and by myself grabbing a pack of M&Ms and a K2 meter, and I have it on camera. Something screamed in my ear, screeched, loud as could be. I thought I was going to turn around and see the insidious claws and the red eyes. Scared the heck out of me.
Oh, man. Yeah. I would have been running. Nice. Have you ever been on an investigation where it's helped somebody?
Yes, we've done a lot of investigations, residential cases, where they've had issues, whether it was a friendly spirit or not so friendly, where we've had to come in, speak to them, do the investigation, and then either follow up with a medium, a priest, a reverend, just depending on their religious background. But yeah, we've definitely helped a lot of people.
Oh, very cool. What is your favorite? I know a lot of these people like these questions. What is your favorite piece of equipment?
See, that's a tough one. I've come to like the real-time EVP.
Yeah.
Because you could ask the question, it has that little buffer, and then it plays back the response. That's my favorite for now.
Nice. It kind of takes away the 2 a.m. sitting in the basement listening to
You know that better than anyone.
Oh, man. My wife knows that better because that's when I come running into the bedroom. Like, she goes,
you
heard
know that better
again.
Than anyone. Oh, I wish they had something similar for video, but that'll come.
It's interesting. I'm trying to think. I had a great question before, and I just talked about the EVPs. It slipped my mind. Now I'm just looking at your smiling face, and I'm saying this is a great time. Upcoming events. There we go.
Well, New Jersey Paranormal does a lot of events, mostly in October. But we are actually having an event next week, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
Shameless plug. At the Ocean County Arts Guild.
Okay.
It's in Toms River. It's to benefit the building, very old historical building. But they do have claims of activity, and we will be doing a ghost hunt with the public.
Have you ever investigated an area where you didn't think you were going to get anything, and it turns up to be a gold mine?
You've probably had this experience yourself.
Yep.
I can't tell you the number of times where I've been bored the entire night.
Yeah.
And during the evidence review, I've captured responses, direct responses to questions, seen a shadow in a room. And it just, that's what it's for us that do this.
Yeah.
You live for those moments because you said, oh my God, there was something there.
All right. Tell me a little bit about your group now.
New Jersey Paranormal was actually founded by myself and my brother.
Okay.
And sometimes he's my older brother, so it can be a little difficult at times, to say the least. But we started the group together. We've taken on new members. We finally taken on a medium.
Yep.
We were against that for a little while because we were mostly
science-based.
But the medium has added a whole different dimension to everything we do. So we have 5 members. We're all really close. We're friends outside of the ghost hunting. We're like family.
Yeah.
So I enjoy their company.
Now, we work with Jackie, with E-Crypt, again, very talented medium. How do you meld the information you get with working with the medium?
It's both. It'd be hard for me to tell a client strictly based on the medium's perception that their place was haunted. I would want some scientific evidence, something, a recording, a shadow, something on for me to say, in my opinion, that the place is active and is haunted. But we do use both. If the medium tells me there's a ghost in the corner, we'll go with our equipment like everybody else and try to initiate some communication, whether with a device or
a walking EMF meter.
Right.
It's great. I love it. All right. I want to say thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
I'm telling you, I am having a great time over here.
I'm glad.
People I've met, between celebrities, between just regular guests we have coming, it is a great time. I would love to come back to the next one. Any thoughts on the next one?
As of now, No, but the idea, again, one of the ideas behind this expo was to create that family atmosphere so that you come back next year and you know those people
exactly.
to the right of you, and you want to come back just for that experience.
Now, you talk about the family atmosphere. Jane Doherty, great, great name, great person. I've become friends over the time, and my wife said, make sure you tell Jane I said hi. Mm-hmm. First thing, I go up to Jane. As soon as she walks in, hug, kiss, Jane, good to see you again. Oh, how are the kids? The kids are doing great, and it's true. It is like a family over here. It is great. It's a great feeling.
That's exactly what I wanted to try to create. And I'm glad people enjoy that feeling. And I hope that everyone comes back next year.
They will. If I have to round them up in a fire truck and bring them, I will bring them down.
I'll keep you to that.
Oh, that'll be great. Hey, if you ever do it up by me, I'll give them free rides in the fire truck. But oh well. So thank you very much, Joe. Handshake across the table.
Thank you.
Great meeting you too. All right, friends. That was Joe, the founder of the Paranudie Expo. Hopefully, we will see him again soon. Thank you very much, guys. And friends, just a quick edit on that. It's not Joe. It's John. You know what? The Mountain Dew's kicking in, and I was just so taken in by such an awesome person. All right, so thank you very much, friends. On to the next interview.
I got Jane Doherty. I got Jane Doherty for an interview.
Yes, people, we are back. That is me singing. That is the Mountain Dew kicking in. And in front of me is the beautiful, the vibrant, the redheaded goddess, Jane Doherty. Now, first of all things, even before I welcome you on behalf of the store and everything, Kelly says hi.
Tell Kelly I said hi, too.
She says hello. She said, make sure you say hi to Jane. See if she remembers me. I said, of course she'll remember you because you're associated with me. So, her favorite Aries. Jane, it is great to see you again.
It's wonderful to be here. Good to see everyone again.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
And I want to know, how is the ability of the expanding doing?
It's still there.
For all our listeners over here, Jane is the real deal. Now, Jane has this ability that when she gets near spirit energy, now, some people would maybe say it's a curse, but she glows up like a balloon. But the blessing is when that energy has given that message, whoosh, right back down. So you're
right
fitting back down to that size 3.
That's right.
Isn't that a great thing? That is a great thing. So, Jane, tell me about the expo. Tell me about the fun you're having here. Tell me about everything going on.
I'm having a blast. I did the one lecture in room 2, I think it was, lecture 1 or 2, and there's a spirit in there that people probably don't know about because while I was lecturing using a pendulum and my stomach expanded and I found the path of the spirit. So, and you never know when that's going to happen. I may not look for a spirit, but I could be standing someplace where if there's a spirit in the room, it's going to come to me and you're going to know it. So that was fun.
That is cool.
And unexpected.
That is cool. Now, for my listeners, for my 3 listeners out there that don't know who you are, because the rest of them should, tell me about yourself and how you got into this whole deal.
Wow. Okay. Goes back many years.
3 weeks.
Yeah. It started in the very early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a psychic fair at Menlo Park Mall and said, what are all these crazy people doing lined up to have a psychic reading? And I got curious and decided, well, let me see what it's all about. So I sat down with the psychic, and that psychic told me that I would be a famous psychic someday. And I laughed in his face because there's no way. I didn't believe in it. So I started off as a skeptic. And after going to over 150 psychics, basically all of them told me the same thing, I decided the only way to prove or disprove it was to attempt to develop it.
Yes.
Now, remember, I was a high school teacher.
Yes.
This is very different. And so in opening it up, I developed the ability, and then someone came to... I was president of the Jersey Society of Parapsychology.
Okay.
And someone came there because they had a ghost in the house and they wanted somebody to look at it to help.
Yeah.
And nobody would go out. And I didn't know anything about ghosts at the time, but I decided I can't leave this person in need.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into ghost investigations.
Very cool. Very, very cool. It's amazing how the path that we take and where it brings us all together.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I got into this whole thing on accident. I saw an ad in the paper. Hey, become a ghost hunter. I said, sounds like a good idea. Kelly, can I do this for my birthday? She goes, yeah, whatever. I went to Jackie's store, took the class. I fell in love with it. Like my first tugboat ride. I get seasick, but I went on a tugboat. I fell in love with it. Now I work in cargo ships. It's amazing the paths that we take and where we end up.
It's very, very true. And you need to be careful of your wishes because they do come true. And I'll tell you one that when I was a teenager, I made a wish. And I was actually in college. I was doing a lot of stage makeup at the time, and I made up myself up as an old character, and I loved it, and I wish that someday I can play an old character in a movie. Well, 2 years ago, I found myself driving to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to be in a movie dressed as an old Amish woman, grandmother.
My.
And I'm saying to myself, how in the world did this come about? I didn't try out for it. It just fell on my lap, and they got me. And I was, like, completely flabbergasted. I was doing 18 ghost tours and then driving to Lancaster trying to study lines. And then it hit me. And I realized, oh, my God, I made this wish when I was about 18. It took many years, but it came about.
I interviewed a movie star. You know, the same thing happened to me. I had a wish when I was in high school. But it was weird. I got a knock on the door, and there was a foot-tall piano player that showed up. I said, who are you? He goes, I'm the pianist. I'm like, oh, wrong wish. But that's going to be for the R-rated section of this show. But no, that is great. How are you doing here at the expo so far? Keeping busy?
Keeping busy. Everybody is wonderful. I'm seeing people I haven't seen in 20 years.
Yes.
Somebody came up to me that remembered me from when I was doing ghost tours at the Spy House back in the late 80s. So it's been a wonderful experience on so many counts.
That's one of the things John and I were talking about before, about the family aspect of here.
Yes.
Where it is just a great feeling where people are coming together for the same reason. And it's for charity. It's a good reason. And that's why I want to see this grow so much. You see it growing?
I see it growing.
Oh, people, you heard it first.
Definitely.
This thing is going to be big. So what's coming up in the world of Jane Doherty?
What's coming up? Well, I'm starting to write another book.
Okay.
On the spirit world.
Okay.
I'm working on... A lot of people don't know I do hypnosis. That's really how I began.
Really?
doing hypnosis. So I'm doing... I'm going to do hypnosis downloads, different things like that. I've been having people ask me. So that's in the works. And, you know, there are always that possibility of a TV show. I mean, there's a couple that are looking at me, but, you know, you don't know. You know, it's that type of a thing. So we'll see.
What about the dancing career? Because I left that class literally before it was dance time. But how's the dancing career going?
Love dancing. In fact, I'm very sore from dancing last night to Elvis Presley impersonator.
Really?
Yes.
That, you know what? That's off topic. I want to hear that story.
It was great. It was great. I was dancing until 1:30 in the morning. That's why I'm tired today. That's why I came late.
I mean,
half an hour late.
I was dancing in the other room just walking, and Jackie's looking at me laughing. He goes, you're nuts. I said, the Mountain Dew, baby. It's going. It's flowing. It's getting me happy. But I even danced before when I'm drinking the seltzer. But, man, I tell you what, it is good to see you. Any plugs or parting thoughts or words of wisdom for our listeners?
If anybody's interested in psychic development, I'm doing a psychic boot camp on June 13th.
Nice.
And probably rescheduling some seances shortly.
Okay.
So they can always go to my website or my Facebook page.
Which is?
It's under my name, www.janedoherty.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And now, what if someone is living in 1974 and doesn't have a computer? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can call me, 908-754-2174.
That's what I love to hear. Shameless plugs, but get them out there. We are good friends, so we're going to treat you right. Jane, I can come across the table and hug you, but I would probably break all the equipment.
Yes.
So I would go, usually everyone gets a handshake. I go, mwah, I'm blowing you kisses.
Sounds good.
I love it.
I go one back.
Oh, I love it. All right, people, the amazing Jane Doherty at my table, in front of me, almost within arm's reach, the point where I'm going to get arrested. And I tell you what, it's always a pleasure seeing you.
Same here.
All right, everybody, I want everyone to mentally say goodbye to Jane. She'll be and wish her luck for everything coming up and upcoming books and upcoming events. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, and see you again next year here, and hopefully have a lot more people.
See you next year. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, friends, how you doing? It's Mark here from Trinity Metaphysical, from eCrypt Ghost Hunters, and from Among the Realms Radio. Across from me, I tell you what, I have my first interview for the day, and it is an absolute awesome sauce treat. I have, okay, I'm going to say it slowly. Brian Cano from the Haunted Collective. And for those of you that don't know, this guy is the real deal. This guy's on TV. This guy is a hell of a guy. So I'm going to open up and just say hello to our new friend right here. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Oh, man, it is going good. I want to say thank you for taking a couple minutes to sit with me. I know it is a crazy, crazy time over here at the Para Unity Expo. But, all right, let me ask you something. How did you start?
Ooh, how did I start? I haven't heard that one before.
Start from the beginning.
All right. My paranormal career began in 2002, back on Staten Island, with a local cable access show called Scared on Staten Island.
Cool.
And back in 2002, you know, there really wasn't a paranormal scene. And it wasn't even called the paranormal. It was the occult.
Yes.
It was scary. It was subversive. It was... something that weird people did in basements and old libraries. And in Staten Island, New York, there's a lot of abandoned places, institutions, hospitals, and anytime a place becomes abandoned, nature comes in, takes over, and reclaims the lands. And these places still stay standing. And, you know, pretty much every city across the country has some example of this, where there's a building that is too expensive to demolish, too expensive to buy, they can't do anything with it, so it just sits there. And invariably, the rumors begin over after a couple of years.
Yes.
Of ghostly sightings, of devil worship activity in there, what have you. And, you know, we grew up hearing all these tales, so we figured, you know what, let's take ourselves, some cameras, and a bunch of our friends, and see if we can't corroborate these stories. Let's see if these tales are true. And that was the genesis of Scared on Staten Island. And we just, you know, walked in. It was very Blair Witch style, very gritty, very vacation video, shaky cam of us going through these places. Now, it wasn't a traditional paranormal investigation as we know it now. It was more of an urban exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our core, love, if you will. You know, we love just exploring old buildings, appreciating the architecture, but also trying to find out if the rumors are true and trying to collect whatever data we can.
I like we talk about the old buildings. Now, is there a certain type you're looking for? Are you looking for something that's still intact? Are you looking for something that's kind of opened up a little bit?
I think everything has a story, every place. One of my pet peeves, I love when people, you know, you'll go to a town and they'll say, there's a lot of history here. Really? Well, there's history everywhere from the moment time started. it's famous history, maybe, well-known history, but history happens everywhere. It's happening right now. We're making history today here at the New Jersey Power Unity Expo 2. What we look for, I guess in the beginning, we look for scary places. We look for places that looked interesting.
Yes.
And, you know, as you learn, it can happen anywhere. So it's not that I look for places now. Places find me.
That's cool. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, tell me about your show.
Which one? Scared or Haunted Collector?
Haunted Collector.
Okay, Haunted Collector. The Adventures of John Zaffis and Family. Haunted Collector ran for 3 seasons on the Sci-Fi Network, and we had a great time going around the country looking for haunted objects. Now, the premise of the show was that everything has a story. Now, people were having paranormal problems. Now, on a lot of the other shows, as well as investigators know that when you're doing an investigation, you look for the cause of the haunting. First, is it the land? You know, is it the land that's causing the haunting? Maybe it's the house. Maybe it's the people. On a very smaller scale, you know, the next logical iteration would be, well, maybe it's an object.
Yeah.
Energy sometimes settles on objects and creates a haunting. So, Haunted Collector, the premise was, you know, we're trying to get to the bottom of cases that seem to be caused by haunted objects.
Okay. Now, when you're talking about a haunted object, I know you'll have an object that, right in front of me is a roll of tape. Now, this tape could have energy attached to it, or it could be haunted. What would the difference between just having some sort of an energy attached or actually being haunted?
When it comes to items and hauntings, I generally put them into 2 classifications. Either A, the object is of intrinsic value to the spirit, and either energy has settled on it, or there's an intelligent spirit that, for some reason, can't let go and chooses to be associated with it. That's one category.
Mm-hmm.
The second would be that the item itself is not necessarily haunted, but it's acting as a catalyst for existing energy in the home. Okay. And this is borne out by science. There's catalysts that cause reactions to happen. Like, all right, we're in a gymnasium right now.
Yeah.
You take half the gymnasium and fill it up with oxygen atoms, fill the other half with hydrogen atoms. All right, over time, reactions will occur, and they will bond to form H2O.
Exactly.
Water. But that's going to take an incredibly long time, and you and I will get very bored waiting for it to happen. If someone walks in with, say, a piece of platinum, that will cause a reaction, because platinum is a catalyst for that particular reaction.
Yes.
And boom, you'll get an explosion. You'll get a release of energy, and you will get that reaction happening a lot quicker. So this room will be filled with water.
Oh, very cool.
So now, in the haunting, the items are that piece of platinum. There might be dormant energy in a house, and bringing this object in loosens it. A good example of this, we did an investigation in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and there was an old museum there that had lots of artifacts and items connected to slavery. Okay, it happened. They're acknowledging it. They're saying this is what was happening at the time. And the item in question was this old slave tag. Now we're figuring, okay, well, why is this happening and why is it happening now? Well, recently the museum had acquired a Ku Klux Klan robe.
Oh.
And it was in the storage, so it wasn't out on display, but those two objects together, just the energy, just didn't mesh for obvious reasons.
Ooh.
Oh, that reminds me, Vera, she's sitting next to me, she's doing something else right there, but we had an outdoor show. And when we were packing up, we brought back a chair. Single chair. Nobody knew where it came from. But next couple days, Jackie walks in the store, and half the store is pushed together and stacked straight up. It's like right out of Poltergeist. So we do an investigation on the chair. We find out that the chair has energy attached to it. We don't find this out until after we're listening to the EVPs and after we actually hear me say, hey, can I sit in your chair? And you hear a loud, no. And then I sit in the chair, and everyone's K2 meters go absolutely nuts. But yes, energy being attached to it—that's amazing. Now, I see you looking over. It looks like you got some people at your table over there. I don't want to cut you off too quick, or I don't want to drag you around too much.
I could always come back for a round two.
I would love a round two. All right, Brian, from all of us here at eCrypt, all of us here at Among the Realms Radio, and at the Para Unity Expo, because I'm going to say it right, I'd like to thank you so much for coming in. Thank you so much for coming back, hopefully later on, and talk. We're going to give you a handshake across the table. All right, Brian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. I'll see you in a bit.
Got you later.
All right, friends, I am back once again. Little lunchtime treat for you now. So we've heard from some special guests. Now I have in front of me an honest-to-God celebrity. Status amazing. Everyone is lined up. We're beating people off to keep them away from the table. It is amazing. I have my Navy SEAL buddies out here. It is great. In front of me is the ever-radiant Joe Chin.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing? Okay. Now, I know there's about three of you out there that do not know who Joe is. So I'm going to start from the very beginning. Joe, tell me about yourself from the beginning. I want to know from the date of birth to now.
Okay. Let's see. This whole paranormal thing started for me probably when I was around 15 years old. We lived in a three-tenement house in Providence, and the third floor had activity. Now, being of Asian descent, we were told not to talk to the spirits, that they don't exist, you don't bother them, they don't bother you. But every time my parents would leave for work, we would hear running up and down the hallways. We'd go up and check. Of course, there'd be nothing there. And then afterwards, we would come back down, and then we would hear a door slam. We'd go back up. Of course, nobody's there. So we're trying to shrug it off and not be scared out of our minds. But it wasn't until I met Jason and Grant when I worked at a computer retail store. I was selling computer equipment and things like that. And then they started coming in. And when I finally asked, what are you doing with all the equipment that you buy from me? They said, oh, we're doing a TV show. I said, where? And they were like, in Rhode Island. I'm like, here, Rhode Island? What's really? In Rhode Island to film?
What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. And he says, oh, we're looking for ghosts. I'm like, what? Get out of here. People look for ghosts? He was like, yeah, there's groups out there that help people who think their house is haunted. So if you get a chance, come by the office. We love to have our fans watch. So I'd be the little geek. I bring coffee and donuts, and I'd go and watch them film excerpts of the show. But it wasn't until I started hearing the evidence they'd capture, EVP, seeing some of the video, that really piqued my interest. So after visiting the office for like a month straight, I finally asked. I said, I'm really interested. That stuff is real. They were like, yeah, of course it's real. I said, can anybody do it? They were like, yeah, yeah. Actually, we've got a team that's not going to be on television, and you can get a taste of what paranormal investigation is like. So yes, I signed up. And
oh, yeah.
My second investigation, I was hooked. Because I was like, wow, they're going to the dark houses, and you hear these things and see these things, and I was hooked. I loved it. And ever since then, it went from visiting the office to becoming a TAPS member, going on investigations. And it wasn't until Jason's Halloween party at his house, because that's his favorite holiday, of course, that he told me that they were looking for a new cast member for the show, and would I be interested? And of course, I said yes. And ever since then, it's been a whirlwind, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of your favorite evidence that you've gotten.
I seem to get a lot of EVPs with the mini DV that I would carry around. But I remember a couple of times where we would have thermal set up and you would see what looked like legs or a head or just a torso. But what really put me over the edge was when I joined the international team and went overseas. And we were at a castle in Denmark called Castle Dragsloan.
Yeah.
Now, supposedly Mary Queen of Scots' husband was in prison down there in the basement, and so we said, okay, we'll go investigate. It was just myself, my perma partner Scott Tepperman, and just one camera person. We're down there for like an hour doing a session, and nothing's happening. We're like, it's boring. Let's go to a different part of the castle. But it wasn't until I went up the stairs that I felt a burning sensation on my left arm, on my wrist. And when I pulled up my long-sleeve shirt and my jacket, I had teeth marks. Freaked me out.
Ooh.
Freaked me out. It was four teeth, a space, and another tooth. Whatever bit me had a missing tooth, which I thought was strange.
right there, that is amazing. People say, oh, yeah, something bit me. No, the fact that there is a missing tooth, that makes it even more real.
Yeah. Production was so psyched. They were like, oh, we're going to take pictures and video, and we need you to go back down. I'm like, what are you, crazy? This thing freaking bit me. I'm not going back down. But I had to. I had to suck it up, and I had to go back down. But luckily, it didn't happen again. But that was a very, very strange experience for me.
All right, so this is leading me to your next question. From one ghost hunter to another, you ever get scared?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We all do.
There are times where if they had thermal camera on me, they probably would see some residuals.
What's that in his leg?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Oh, that is great. All right, so we talked about some of your earlier work there. What is your first EVP, since that you said your best evidence? Do you remember your very first EVP of your career?
I don't.
Ooh.
I'm ashamed to say that because I don't remember. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, man.
I'm drawing a blank. Sorry.
No worries. You know, it's like a good girlfriend. We always remember it. All right. So what about upcoming stuff for you? Is there anything new and out of the box you're looking at researching?
Yes, actually. I've been asked to do a movie. It's kind of one of those B movies, maybe.
To quote Pee Wee Herman, a movie?
A movie, yeah. It's probably going to be a comedy / horror where, believe it or not, I may play an Indian in full headdress, and I'm a psychic with abilities.
Okay. Yeah. I see where you're going. I see where this is going.
So I want to try it. I said, I have no acting skills whatsoever. They were like, that's okay. You're Joe Chin, but not really Joe Chin. So.
Yeah, just be you.
So, yeah. So hopefully it'll be all right.
So not only am I sitting across from a world-renowned TV personality, but now a movie star. Yes, this is great. This is a first. I almost knocked Jackie out with my hand. I'm cheering so much, jumping up and down. The sugar is kicking in. I love it. Actually, I didn't even have any sugar yet. The Mountain Dew is waiting for me. But that is great. All right, one last question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite piece of equipment to use?
For me, probably the audio recorder and a thermal
or
a camera of some sort.
Did you see this thing they have? Right down the road, they have on the iPhone a FLIR thermal camera that clips onto your iPhone.
Yeah. I have an iPhone 5, and when I saw that, I'm like, wow, really? A FLIR thermal camera?
This,
I want one.
This
want
is my one. Cell phone at the moment. All right, Joe's laughing as my flip phone.
Sorry.
No. That is the reason I'm getting an iPhone.
Oh.
I am going to go home, tell my wife, you know what? Let me get an iPhone right now. This thing is great. I keep talking about it. But, all right. So that's cool. The EVPs tend to be a lot of people's favorites, it seems.
Yes. Yeah.
because it's something that connects you with the evidence, which I love too. And you know, it's 2 a.m. You're downstairs in the basement. You hear something call your name, and like you run. Yeah. That's it, man. That is some good stuff.
Well, for me, I do like the EVPs, but EVPs of children freak me out. When you hear little kids crying or saying, "I'm cold."
EVPs of children, you say?
Yeah.
You want to hear one?
Yeah.
All right, so let me find it. We have right here, it might be a little tough to find it, but you hear Jackie talk to a little girl, and you actually hear the girl respond. Like, he'll Jackie say, "We found you," at the end, you'll hear something. So let's get this played for you.
Okay.
"We found you.
Oh. That's definitely what sounds like a little girl to me."
Yep, and I got the goosebumps. I love it. I love it. Now, later on, I guess we'll show you. We got a famous one of her getting tossed out of a chair from 2 different cameras.
Tossed out of a chair?
Tossed out of a chair.
Wow.
Now, usually I'm the bait. I'm the one that volunteers to go for all. Hey, I'll climb in there, no problem. But tossed out of a chair. That's a different story. That we'll save there for the television show if that ever happens. Right now, this is radio, and all I can do is turn the microphone in a direction and say, "Hey, take a look at this." All right, Joe. I want to say thank you very much. It has been a pleasure to talk to you. A pleasure in my fledgling radio career to interview such an amazing person. Your smile is infatuated. It is great. I love it. It
thank
is such
you.
Positive energy. Handshake across the table.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Joe Chin, any plugs for you?
Yes. Come see me at any event I'm doing. I'm doing, Phenomenology. And I'm doing the Rhode Island Comic Con up in Rhode Island. So if you live in Rhode Island area, it's only $5 to do this event.
Cool.
You get to meet celebrities like John Zaffis, Andrea Perron, and myself. And I'm also doing another TV show called The Paranormal After Party with the Generic Black Shirt Groups that's on the CW and Fox 56 in the Pennsylvania area.
That is awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, from Trinity Metaphysical, from Ecrypt Ghost Hunters, I'm sorry, they said the sugar hasn't kicked in yet. And from Among the Realms, I am Mark, and I'm sitting across from Joe. We're going to say thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you.
All right,
so much.
One more handshake across the table because I absolutely love it. All right, guys, thank you very much. All right, friends, here we go. So you've heard from a bunch of people today. You've heard from the great Jane Doherty. You've heard from the amazing Kreskin. No, not the amazing Kreskin. We had Joe Chin before. We had Brian Cano. We had some great, great non-special guests, just friends of the area. Now. I want everyone to sit down. Now stand up. Now sit down again. In front of me is the amazing Dave Giuliano. Beautiful flowing locks of brown golden hair. What a smile on this guy. Now, people, if you've seen him before, this guy's a legend in the community, and you probably bought some stuff from a store. Putting you through the kids through college?
No kids, but definitely send me on vacation.
Definitely send him on vacation. Well, you know what? I saw some stuff here, and they're like, "Oh, you can get it at the Ghost Hunter store." And I'm thinking, my wife's going to kill me, but yes, I'm going to go shopping online. Dave, tell me about yourself right here.
Where to start, man?
Well, all right, so the usual question is, start from the beginning. Now, just give me a quick background on yourself, because what I'm interested in is a lot of the big players here, the backgrounds they have before they've gotten into the paranormal community.
Well, I guess I had on-the-job training, because my first encounter with a ghost was when I was 3 years old.
Cool.
So I grew up with spirits in my parents' house, and everywhere I've lived since. So when I first, got into this, I was looking for answers for myself.
Yeah.
And I started the Shadowlands website back when the internet was just, when the web just started to exist.
Nice. This is back in the CompuServe and Prodigy days, right?
Exactly.
Oh, sweet.
All it was black and white text. There was no pictures. It was just text. So
wow.
I started the page looking and hoping that there was other people that had experiences like me.
Yeah.
So I just threw my stuff out there and, crossed my fingers and figured maybe I'm going to get a few people respond, or a few people call me a crackpot. I think we're up to like 16,000 people sharing their experiences now.
Oh, my God, that is great.
So I realized, I'm not alone. There's something more to this. And that's what really got me started digging into it more and learning more about it.
Nice. I'm going to go off topic a little bit here, but there's something you mentioned that when you were young, when this first came in. We've talked about indigo children before, children with special gifts. Now, even if you're sensitive, you're not sensitive, however you take it, did you bring this to your parents as a young child?
Hey, even when I was the first experience, I went and woke up my dad, and he told me to shut up and go back to sleep.
Not nice, but that's what we're trying to talk about. For parents listening out there, if your child has a spark, has a gift, see something, Don't snuff it. Let it grow. It is something special.
Well, I think nowadays it's not stigmatized like it was when I was growing up. My parents didn't believe me until I was about 17.
Okay.
You know, they finally realized that there's something going on, and physical stuff started happening that they couldn't explain. We had lights going on and off all the time. My dad had the house rewired literally three times.
Ooh.
The electrician refused to do it again because he said there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Bought new lights, didn't change anything. To this day, my dad will tell you it's an electrical problem.
Oh, man.
But my mom thought differently, you know, and she kind of encouraged me to go out there. She did, like, searches and backgrounds on the house and things like that. Try to find out as much as we could, and then I kind of got out there more. You know, there wasn't much reading about it. There wasn't many books. So I still kind of kept it quiet.
Yeah.
But, as the internet grew, you realized, I think more of us realized we weren't alone.
Yeah.
And that made a big difference because you were able to connect with people. And that's when I kind of got the idea that, you know, I was terrified growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could do something so there wasn't a 3-year-old kid scared to sleep in his room.
Yeah.
Then maybe that's something I can give back.
Yeah. There are psychic development classes out there. There's ways to grow it. I mean, as Charlie told you about the group, one of the things we all do is try to develop ourselves. We do take the classes. I've grown, I don't want to say exponentially, but I've pulled some stuff off in those classes that's kind of interesting. But enough of me. I want to talk back to you. I want to talk to you. All right, so now the story you have, how did that start?
One day, I was talking to a guy about an EMF meter that I had purchased for about $130. And this was back when there was maybe two or three kind of that were remotely close to someone's, you know, price range.
Yeah.
Back in the very early days. I was just asking questions on basically how it worked, what the theory was behind it, if how we were using it was even legitimate.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was the guy who invented it.
Ooh.
No idea. So I just was talking to him. I threw out a number. Like, hey, suppose I wanted to order 10, like a case of them. I'm figuring for my group, you know. How much would it cost? And the number he gave me was less than what I had paid for one.
Wow.
And I realized how much people were getting ripped off with the markups.
Yeah.
So I put a thing up on the Shadowlands and said, how much would you pay this much for it? And I got like 50 responses back. And I'm like, hey, all right, send me like 5 cases.
Yeah.
And it started with one, the cell sensor started with one meter.
That's
then I went down the next thing. Okay, what's the next thing we need?
Yeah.
And just started one thing at a time. Now we just sell more than ghost equipment. We sell all like the metaphysical stuff.
Yeah.
We sell religious stuff. We do the classes. We do the events, the investigations.
That's
so
great. Tell me about your group a little bit.
There's multiple groups now. South Jersey Ghost Research.
Yep.
Trace our roots back to 1955.
Wow.
The original group was called Ghost Hunters in America.
Okay.
And they were more mediums and psychics. Okay. Didn't really use equipment that much. More than just, you know, 35mm photography. And that was more to document a location than to try to capture anything on it. I've been director for like 17 years now, which seems like forever. We've always had a hidden aspect, I guess, for the last 12 years. We've dealt with, I guess, the negative and problematic cases or demonic cases, whatever you want to call them. We've had the privilege to train with a lot of very well-known people and experienced people in the field. Now we've kind of just made that public that we have that because we already were getting cases. I don't know how they would find us.
Yeah.
Why would they contact South Jersey Ghost Research for a bad case like that? It was always to me weird. That's a weird for a demonic case. That seems like the wrong group to contact.
Happens for a reason.
So that's exactly what we thought. So it's Sanctuary Paranormal. Okay. It's kind of like a sister group, and all that deals with is just the, you know, the stigmatized and the problematic hauntings.
What are some of the things you do when you get into, like, a negative energy investigation? What are some things you do to protect yourself?
Every person's different. I prefer layers.
Okay.
I do a lot of psychic protection with, like, visualizations. I prefer using visualizations of objects. Like, I'll protect myself seeing myself in medieval armor.
Cool.
Because it's easy for me to, okay, I can put on more and more armor, put a shield, or take the helmet off if I take less of a threat. It's easy for me to visualize. Everyone has a different way. And then I do, you know, crystals.
Yep.
I'll do other visualizations. I try to change it up constantly, whether it's just religious objects, whether it's, you know, something metaphysical or just the visualizations. I try not to do the same thing for a long period of time. 'Cause that way something sees a pattern.
Yeah.
It finds its way in.
Oh, yeah.
I try to make it an obstacle course if it wants to get in.
Nice. This is one of the questions I've been asking all the ghosters I talk to is, remember your first EVP?
You know what? I do, only because I've gotten 3 A-class EVPs in 27 years.
Really?
So, not something I'm really good at. Either I just don't hear them or whatever. And the last one was just a few weeks ago.
Really?
And everybody got it. So it was cool. It was like a disembodied voice, but we all recorded it. So
just got chills. It's just you said that. Like, all right. Those are the fun ones. Those are like the holy grails right there.
Yeah, that's what, three video cameras. We all had video cameras and all had digital recorders. Yep. And we all heard it at the same time. But each of us had it at different. It's like my volume was very low.
Yeah.
The next person who was just right across from me, the volume went up a little bit.
Yep.
And the third person, it was like they were screaming into the thing, but all synced in time.
Oh, that's
and
great.
We all heard it live.
That's great.
So that stuff doesn't happen very often at all. So
no, that's the fun stuff. And that makes your tech guy go nuts trying to get all the different recorders at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the fun ones. What's your favorite piece of equipment, speaking of recorders? Like, what do you love to work with the best?
Right. Mine changes because I just have to have one of everything. It's
yeah.
Like, when a new toy comes out. I really like the Vortex Ghost Gear just came out with the V-Pod that he's put in the dogs, the lifelike dogs.
Okay.
Because some of the equipment that we use as trigger props, like the REM pod or the anything you want to interact with,
yeah.
How do you describe that to a Civil War spirit?
Yeah.
You touch the black cylinder object with a silver stick sticking it. I wouldn't touch it if I was a ghost.
Yeah.
But every era is going to recognize a dog.
Yeah.
And when they see that you pet it and it makes a noise or Bob's plays music, the Vortex stuff, that makes a difference, I think. And we're getting a lot of interactions. We got a lot of interactions at Pennhurst down where some of the children's wings were. I mean, they were having a field day with the dogs. So, but I think even adults can relate to that, and they don't see it as a threat.
Yeah.
So,
all right, all you aspiring groups out there, that is a very good piece of information you just got. It's an eye-opener right there. You know, and it's true. You know, a spirit that wasn't alive in this time won't know what my voice recorder is. It's exactly a great thing. That's why I love these expos where you can come and you can share knowledge. I mean, you probably just open the doors for a bunch of groups going, that's why I'm not getting anything. Oh, man, it's killing me. Oh, man. Another one is, you ever get scared?
I don't think that's ever going to stop.
Yes.
I mean, there's scared and then there's like surprise too.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff will just, it's like when someone jumps out of the door at you and you didn't know they were there, just to scare you. I mean, you're going to get that. And then there's other times, because we do deal with, the extreme negative things.
Yeah.
That you're like, I used to say, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And I stop saying that now because it always kicks up a notch. So I've seen some pretty things, at the time you have to kind of, keep a level head, but afterwards, you're hyperventilating, your pulse is racing, all the adrenaline's leaving your system. So, I don't think there's ever a point where you're not going to have some level of fear.
What was the most out-of-the-box thing you've researched? Like normally, okay, you think, ghost, all right, I'm going to go to a Civil War battlefield, I'm going to go to an old house. That's you think. What's a place that you've researched that was not anywhere near those things?
I think one of the weirdest, I guess unusual, it was a school, but it wasn't a typical school. Okay. We were called in by the Pennsylvania Historical Society. They were called out because kids were seeing nuns in a high school. And for no reason they could understand.
Really?
Except that they knew that there had been a church on the property because a small chapel they converted to the gym. The Historical Society came out and they were doing research and they found that there was a Catholic girls' school there, and before that was a convent.
Nice.
Right on the property, and the school had built right over it. Matter of fact, the gym was built right over the cemetery.
Oh.
They were able to research records and saw that they moved the bodies,
mm-hmm.
and they reinterred them in another cemetery. And when going through the records, they found that they had records of who died and what years, and there was too many deaths to account for the few bodies that they moved.
Oh.
So they were still there, and the stuff that was happening there was incredible. We were, they usually chain like the fire doors.
Yeah.
We were on each side of it with our radios,
yeah.
and we were watching the doors shake back and forth like someone was pulling on the chain.
Ooh.
And I told the other team to knock it off. We're not playing. And they were like, we're not touching it. We're watching the door shake. We had the elevator come up and down. The school police wouldn't go in.
Really?
They even when they unlocked it for us, they wouldn't go in. They're the ones that originally got in touch because they were going, they were chasing people through the building and then come to a dead end and there was no one there.
Oh, man.
That was the final straw. The kids, they were kind of explaining away, saying, okay, yeah, it's imagination, it's whatever. Yeah. Kids make an urban legend up. But the cops were different, you know?
And they wouldn't go in. That's classic right there. Come on, guys.
That's your typical like poltergeist story. It's built on top of a cemetery.
When you were talking about it, the first thing I can think of is, oh, the pool, the body's floating out of the in-ground pool there. Oh,
we actually had someone dousing, and they were walking across the gym, and they stopped. They were going, I guess, long ways the way the graves were buried.
Yeah.
They were going like 6 foot,
mm-hmm,
and the rods were crossed. Then they'd uncross for about 3 feet, and then cross again. I was watching her go across the whole. She mapped out the whole cemetery. This is a real weird pattern. And she didn't know what had happened there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is really cool. That I guess the dowsing rods do work.
Yeah. There.
She's mapping out the whole perfect grids. Symmetry was incredible.
Oh, man. Before you were talking about toys, what kind of new toys do you see coming up in the horizon here?
Yeah. I don't even try to guess anymore because the people just surprise me. I mean, back when I first started, you know, we were using tape recorders and, you know, regular cameras. Now, when something new comes out, I'm like, you know, I wish we had that those years ago.
Yeah.
So that now that, you know, that there's more and more people building stuff on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're limited by our imagination, basically.
I'm waiting for the DJI Phantom 3 ghost hunting drone to come out.
There you go.
Oh, man, that would be great. I want to make it a little more serious. We're talking about negative things. Now, you do, well, I don't want to say do, but you have experience, or maybe you do, I haven't done the official interview yet, deal with exorcisms.
Yes, I've done deliverances, I've done exorcisms. Took a long time to build up to that level. It's not something you jump in.
No.
A lot of people think you do. You read a book and then you can do that. I mean, I participated in many before I didn't really even get the idea that I was ever going to do them.
Yeah.
Just one time I was just put in a position where there was no other option. And we still do them as sparingly as possible.
Yeah.
Because it's something you know, obviously extremely dangerous.
Yes.
But you have to consider people's mental health. We have to have people evaluated and stuff like that just to make sure that there is a legitimate, you know, thing going on. So it's a lot more complicated than the movies make it out.
Oh, yeah. Now, a lot of our people only know from what they see in the movies. They see The Exorcist, The Last Exorcist, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. What is it really like in the room?
You know, a lot of them are pretty laid back and uneventful. I mean, there are extreme ones.
Yeah.
But they are, I would say maybe like 1 out of 20 would be something, and it probably wouldn't even make like something that you would say like a movie out of. Some of the ones that were close, I mean, Emily Rose, the story was very accurate.
Yeah.
The Conjuring was very accurate for different events. I mean, you take the Hollywood makeup out and special effects.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had to physically hold somebody down with 5 people.
Yeah.
I've seen people pulled up out of the chair by their throat with invisible hands.
Wow.
I mean, some pretty strange stuff, but then that's 1 case out of 100.
Yeah.
You know, so most of them are pretty, it's more of a relaxed kind of feeling, actually.
I don't want to use the word benign because you're dealing with negative entities here. You're dealing with very serious things. I don't like to use the word benign when you have serious things or you have danger involved, but.
Well, you're basically taking the positive energy.
Yeah.
And you're displacing the negative energy with it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's like when you go into a dark room and you flip the light on, the light's always going to win.
Yeah.
It's the room's, unless the light bulb blows out, that's when it all goes sideways on you. As long as the light bulb works, the light's always going to win.
That is a very good analogy. I like that.
So when you can do that and displace the negative energy, a lot of times it's just as simple as that. As long as the people really want it gone, that's when it becomes complicated if they don't.
Yeah.
A lot of people have guilt or maybe they're just something they're holding on to, and that's usually why they don't work, or because they're not participating. The most important person in a deliverance or an exorcism is the person sitting in the chair having it done to them.
Okay.
Because if they don't participate
and
they don't want it gone,
exactly.
You can do as much as you want, throw holy water around, say as many prayers as you want, it's not going to do anything.
It's not going to happen. Now, you mentioned deliverance or exorcism. What is the difference between deliverance or exorcism?
The exorcism really is, it's the rite of exorcism.
Okay, I mean, it's the Catholic.
Catholic, right.
Okay.
But they also will do deliverances now.
Okay.
Deliverance, I like to call it, you know, kiddingly, I guess it's like a freestyle exorcism.
Okay.
You don't have to say a written, you know, 20-page rite.
Okay.
In certain, you know, vernacular. You can say what you want to get the point across, I guess. And most of the time it's telling the people, I'll use visualizations a lot of time. I'll tell them, you have to release it. You need to tell it, you know, to let go, or you want the energy out of you. And I say, I'm pulling from this side. That's a picture as a giant splinter.
Yeah.
I'm pulling on one end. I need you to, from the inside, push it out. And just like that, instead of no, thee, thou's, you know, any of that kind of stuff, just simply doing that, it's almost more like energy work.
Yeah.
Because you have to factor in their religious beliefs. Because someone who's not Christian, you can't sit there and do a rite of exorcism because it has no effect.
That is a great way of putting it. It's almost like a severe form of energy work.
Yeah.
I've never thought, with exorcism, I only thought it was Catholic-based. Mm-hmm. Because I've only seen Vatican-trained exorcisms. Like, one of the guys I have for an upcoming show, I believe it's Dr. Lambert, or Father Lambert, out from the Midwest, Vatican-trained priest. And, again, all I thought it was just strictly Catholic-based, like the Catholic rite of death, of communion, of this, of that. Same thing.
Well, they get the most play on the movies.
Yeah.
Because it's more dramatic. I mean, it is a ritual that dates back to the 1400s at least. There's rituals that predate that.
Yeah.
So every major religion has some form of cleansing. And that's all really an exorcism is. It's a cleansing.
Wow.
That's the thought behind the prayers and everything, is to remove it by using, you know, in the Christian sense, you're using the power of God as good to drive out whatever's negative.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what religion you are, you can still use those same principles. You just swap out the names or don't use names at all.
I tell you what, I am so glad we do these interviews, and I can't wait to do the show on exorcism. That's going to be a fun one, too. So I'll dig in more over that. All right, so any upcoming events for you that you'd like to plug?
Let's see. We're going to be at Rolling Hills, doing a store event there. Phenomenology, of course, is coming up in June. That's Father's Day weekend, I think.
Okay.
Thursday. That's a very, very cool event. It's probably one of the best times where you can see a lot of the big names be all in one area, and you can sit and come up and just talk to them and hang out with them.
That's cool.
And have a conversation, ask questions. It's like you're not waiting in line for an autograph.
Yeah.
You're sitting back, relaxing, and having conversations. We're going to have some events, some major things coming up at Pennhurst.
Okay.
Some big announcements with that.
Ooh.
And some new exciting stuff going on.
Nice.
So coming up in July, and then I'll have some more events there. And I got some other newer locations trying to factor in there, so.
Nice. Did you see, I'm harping on this thing the whole day, did you see the FLIR attachment for the iPhone?
Yeah. Yes.
How cool is that?
The only downside is you have to have an older model of the phone. I think it's the 4.
Hold on. Let me show you. You think it will fit on my phone? Talking about older models?
No, I don't think that. And it's only for the iPhone.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But that, I mean, my wife has an older one. I'll say, hey, I'll take your old one. You get a new one just so I can get one of those. That is pretty cool.
The upside is you get video.
Yeah. And so, you have a FLIR for under a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
I mean, I've specced out FLIRs, and you can look at $1,300, $1,400. I mean,
The new one that just came out, we're carrying it at the store now, is $499.
Yeah.
Now, like 4 years ago, they were the lowest, cheapest one you get was like $3,000, you know, dollars. Last year, they really just, I thought they finally recognized that people were using it for other things.
Yeah.
Saw a market, they lowered it under $1,000.
Like
just on it, like $999.
Yeah.
This year, when they cut it again in half, I was really surprised. So they're starting to get some competition. They're starting to see that if they lower it enough, people will buy it.
Yeah.
And their profit margin's huge. And
oh, just, yeah.
And that was the whole idea kind of behind the store too. I mean, when I first started with the store, you know, the modified cameras, the full spectrum and infrared cameras were ridiculously priced.
Yeah.
I got another guy just to build them for me. I found a guy that was doing them for eBay. I said, can you build them for me? And we just made an agreement to lower the price to lower than, you know,
yeah.
I think it was like $150 we started at.
Yeah.
Every other person selling them had to drop their prices or not sell any.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm sure I didn't make a lot of fans with that among the other resellers, but I kept the people honest and kept the price within at least, you know, acceptable range.
I mean, they're still making the money on the volume sale now.
Right.
And
actually, the markups were, again, were ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, our camera now is, you know, we have one for like $99.
That's nice.
I mean, you're just, they're basically, you know, it's if you have the knowledge and the ability, it's not a tough job to convert them. The people were charging a lot for their labor.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I know I'll be checking out the site pretty soon. Going to be home for a while, so got to update the gear. update the gear there. All right, so we're gonna close it off. You got any plug for the store, plug for the group?
Let's see. The store, I guess I'd like people to follow us on Facebook, really, because I do coupons all the time, specials. I list all the new equipment.
Yep.
Facebook is the first place I launch new investigations. Like the Pennhurst ones, I never get a chance to even put them up on the website. Yeah. Just through Facebook, I get enough people to sell it out. So following us on Facebook and also the group, too. We have a website that we put a lot of educational stuff up, trying to share what we've learned over the years with the newer people in the field.
Cool. All right, I'm going to have to cut it short right here. Got to keep it down. Got to get going on the road there. But, Dave, a little handshake across the table. I tell you what, it was great meeting you for the first time. I'd love to continue this friendship. I know Charlie and the group's got a good rapport with you there. Virgil's got a good rapport, and I love it. Love the store. Definitely going to be checking out the page. Definitely going to be checking out the group, watching you on Facebook, see what's coming up. And, again, thank you very much for coming on Among the Realms tonight. Or this afternoon, I should say.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. Good luck to you. Good luck to your venture. All right, guys, that's it for me at the Power Unity Expo. Hope you all had a good time.